And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. You know, it's just, I was thinking today, we've been doing this now since, well, this is our 15th year doing this. Obviously, not on the same platform, platforms, plural, and not in, but 15, roughly 15 years. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your continued belief and trust in us. We really appreciate it. It is absolutely incredible. It really is to think about. This is our 15th year, and we're still here. Wow. You know, Chuck Norris, truckdefense.com/Hagman, Chuck Norris, 85, this past weekend, and he's still going strong. Let me tell you. Folks, have you visited? Have you watched the video yet? If you haven't, do so now at truckdefense.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you right now, he's revolutionized. He does three things differently. He made three changes. Let me rephrase that. Three changes to his lifestyle. And by doing so, he has really found more energy, been more energetic. It felt better than even when he was in his 50s. I'm telling you, it is absolutely fantastic stuff. The information contained in the video, if you haven't seen the video, go to truckdefense.com/Hagman. That's truckdefense.com/Hagman. I've been doing this so long, talking this up so long. I should have gotten that right, but it's truckdefense.com/Hagman. Watch the video. Three important changes. And his wife, too. This is not just for guys. His wife as well. She feels like she's much younger. And, you know, it's, I was talking to Steve Quayle here recently, and his wife, her biological age is not even close to her chronological age. Yeah, I said that right. So I'm telling you what, this is just fantastic. Visit chuckdefense.com/Hagman. That's chuckdefense.com/Hagman, or simply click the link in the program description box below. All right, I want to, and again, thank you all for your support as well. Without your support, we could not stay on the air. I'm telling you right now, expenses are just through the roof. Inflation. I had a grocery store run today. My wife hates it when I go to the grocery store because I buy things. I buy weird stuff. Okay. For some reason, I had to buy fresh thyme. And also,
and grape nuts.
Grape nuts, yeah. I'm telling you what. Things like that, it just drives her crazy. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like fresh thyme when you cook, right? Or fresh tarragon. Fresh herbs. And it was inexpensive. And I noticed the price of eggs have gone down. I think the regular eggs were, when I say regular eggs, I'm saying store brand, you know, were, I think, $1.10. I have to check, but that's pretty close. It's significant. Well, hey, the store I went to, I don't know, maybe they were expired. Yeah. Randy Taylor, RT. Yeah, I couldn't get it out there. RT@HagmanPI.com. That's happy, how to get a hold of them.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Come on board.
I'm rowing. I'm trying to get there. I'm on board now, sir.
Okay. Give people your social media. Yeah, on X. Tell people where they can find you.
Oh, Randy Taylor _USA. Okay. Once again, please go over to Twitter, X, sign up, okay? Randy Taylor, _USA. If you put Randy Taylor in the search box, that'll probably walk you there. And you can also reach me at rt@hagmanpi.com. That is rt@hagmanpi.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I am really good about returning emails. Anybody out there can chat, ask them. I'm really good about it. If I didn't return your email, it's probably because I didn't see it. I spent a great deal of time returning emails.
I probably should stay home from going to the grocery store, although that was only like 30 minutes, answer emails because...
I'm saying, were you cooking?
Oh, well, yeah, but...
Okay, I didn't know you cooked.
Well, that's not what my wife calls it, but...
Well, I don't know. Well, actually, the times I've been to your house and I've eaten, I've been fed very well and very good. The last time was an Italian dish. And it was good. It was Italian, and you actually put shredded carrots in the top. I had never had that with pasta.
Was I here?
Yeah, we were sitting outside. We were sitting outside at the picnic table. I think Renee might have done it. It was beautiful, though. The taste was, never had shredded carrots. I never had shredded carrots in a pasta.
Apparently, I haven't either, but and still haven't.
It was pretty tasty, man.
Wow. Okay.
I think your wife did it.
You sure they weren't sun-dried tomatoes? Whatever.
It was shredded carrots. I was surprised. I've had all kinds of pasta in my life, all over the place. Uh-huh. Never had that. Uh-huh. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a nice taste in a pasta, right on the top, like you would put Parmesan cheese.
Interesting.
Maybe it was mold.
No, it was shredded carrots, and it was delicious. My compliments to the cook.
And I got to say this on my Twitter feed. I think I posted this. I don't know, probably a week ago. I posted souffles I made. And I cooked a 3-cheese souffle, and now.
Can you put this on X?
Yeah, I did.
How come I don't see? I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Because I follow you. You should be in my timeline.
Oh, there it is, Eric the Tech. Thank you. Look at that.
Oh, so, that looks good.
I have to tell you though. Okay, a souffle waits for no person. Okay. It's so delicate, so delicate. So that was probably, I don't know, a few minutes after I took that out of the oven, and so it did. It did lose that rise by probably an inch and a half. So because that was an inch and a half over the top of the dish.
That looks delicious, brother.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, 3-cheese omelet, Parmesan Reggiano, mozzarella, and sharp cheddar, along with chives with asparagus with the.
So you do cook. I've known you for how many years now? Almost 30 years.
I cook, but I don't know if I do it well. My wife eats it, and she puts up with it.
It certainly looks delicious.
I got to check on that carrots thing. I think you're misremembering that.
No.
Or you're doing an USA, or maybe I'm doing a USAID thing and shredding up the recipes here.
Because the documents?
Yeah.
Burn all the documents. I'll tell you what. Anybody that puts that kind of order out needs to be arrested.
Okay, and he, see, thank you. Aside from appearing on Sean Hannity's show, what the hell is Pam Bondi doing?
Thank you. That is you know what, Doug? I think right now that is the question of the day across America. I believe that conservatives, patriots, are all sitting there going, what the hell is Pam Bondi doing? Because if she's building up to something... Well, it's going to be quite the explosion, but we need to see something.
You know, I don't know whether you saw this. In addition to the current events, what we're referring to, folks, is USAID. Someone gave the order to go into the Washington, D.C. office there and shred every document, and the ones you couldn't shred, put in a burn bag. It's actually a pouch for shredding or burning. And And the email was... Everyone knows, but no one's... Oh, thank you, Eric the Tech. There it is.
Yep.
USAID staff ordered to destroy evidence on Tuesday. That's today. Why would they...
not destroy my souffle.
Yeah. Or the recipe.
Just slam the door. Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. That's classified. You know, but seriously, what the heck is going on here? And why are they allowed to do this?
This is absolutely nuts.
Owen Schroyer from InfoWars talked about this. Good. I'm telling you what. I don't know how many people know Owen, but I remember him from when he first began there. And he said a couple of things. You want to continue on with this topic, or you got something else on your mind?
No, let's do this. And I hope Owen Schroyer stays safe.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm concerned. I really want to know what happened to that other young man.
Well, you know, Jamie White, he was the InfoWars reporter. He went from his office at InfoWars, as far as we know, directly back to his apartment, got out of the vehicle, and was murdered. Real essentially where he stood right there. Okay, now.
So he did get out of the vehicle.
That's my understanding. Now, look, okay. I don't know the details. I've left everyone. I mean, I don't want to bother those people. Okay.
No, but still, I mean, if this was just killing a patriot, man, we need to know about it.
Well, here's something that I found out. Well, I knew this, but I didn't
Alex
really
figure
think
it
about
out.
This. What's that?
Alex will figure it out.
Oh, Alex is pit. Yeah. I mean, he is.
He'll let us know.
Over the moon, yeah. PO'd. Yeah. Yeah, believe me. He demanded this. Well, he'll find out. You're right, Eric. But I did not know. I did know, but I really didn't think about this. But Jamie White was on the Ukraine's hit list.
Like Laura Loomer.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a hit list.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the left is, you know, when you take apart this Ukraine stuff, RT, man, the money that's being squandered for the people who are backing the war with Ukraine, which, by the way, looks like, and we'll get into this later, looks like it might just, there might be a ceasefire in the offing.
Yep, saw that. But, you know, what you just said, a lot of people were making a lot of money off Ukraine, off this war. As that money was going out, a lot was going into accounts.
Man.
That is an atrocity.
You know...
God, we got to get to the bottom of it.
So, I know, like, ongoing investigations, you don't talk about. You just shut up and just do the work. But you would think that, like, right now, maybe, kind of, sort of, Pam Bondi or Kash Patel would come out and reassure the American people that, hey, you know what? We're pulling some threads, some strings. We're connecting some dots, and y'all better be worried.
Yep. Something. Throw us a bone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is, we opened up talking about the document shredding order. This is the video by Owen Schroyer. I wanted to stick this in here because he does analyze this pretty well, okay? In a sense, Owen was thinking like an investigator or like a prosecutor, and I was pretty impressed by this. So this is cut number, let's see here. Video 5 in the show notes. And by the way, folks, show notes, HagmanPI.com. You find the episode, today's episode, and you click on the title, and it opens up all of the links we're using. So if we cut it short, you know, you can watch. If we cut the link short, you can either read the article or watch the thing. Oh yeah. Hey, thanks for doing that. HagmanStore.com.
No. Drink some of this coffee, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Yeah.
Archie, there you go.
I love Hagman coffee. I'm telling you.
You know, somebody asked if it was, I'm not sure, fair trade. I think we cannot make any claims at all about our coffee in terms of it being like, you know, consistent with the fair trade. I don't know what they call that. In terms of GMO, no. I mean, it's not. So, it's other high quality beans, but
it's fantastic. It's really good, and it's made specifically for Hagman.
Exactly,
ladies and gentlemen, this is being made for you. This is gourmet stuff being made for you.
And I went through, man, I don't know how many different. I was almost like coffeed out, because I would taste like a whole bunch of different blends for the different types.
We were going to rename them to Tim Hortons or something. He was drinking so much coffee and trying it.
Man, yeah. And I kept saying, okay, yeah, it's too acidic. It's too, or it's not, you know, it doesn't have the bite.
Is the United States going to lose Tim Hortons?
But hey, that's a great question.
I have no idea. In my opinion, no loss. I don't, when I'm in Canada, I don't go to Tim Hortons. I think their coffee, when Tim Hortons sold to Restaurant Management something, RMI, I believe it was, it's a primarily Brazilian-held company.
Yep.
They changed coffee beans, of course, because it's in Brazil, and the Brazilian guys thought, hey, you know what? We can do better. Well, they didn't. Now it's like somebody took a dump in a coffee cup, okay? It's lousy. I don't like it. I haven't drank. I'll tell you who's got the best coffee when you're in Canada, seriously, is McDonald's coffee. If you're not drinking Hagman coffee, you need to drink McDonald's McCafe. But Hagman coffee, ladies and gentlemen, you got three different blends. You can get it in K-cups, you can get it in beans, and you can get it ground. It is fantastic. And the people that have taken my word for it and tasted the Hagman coffee continue to buy the Hagman coffee, and they also email me and they tell me how great it was and how glad they are that they gave it a try. So listen, and you know what? A portion of that, how are you going to go wrong with this? A portion of that goes to helping fight the sex trafficking with children. Okay?
It's actually...
Stop and think about that.
It's nearly two-thirds of the profits.
Who else does that? Paul Newman didn't do that, okay? He claimed he did all the profits, but, you know.
I mean, of the net, not the gross, but the... Or, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry, the net. Wow.
But, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is, that's heavy. That's heavy.
And we did not increase the price after the price increase we got hit with.
Yeah. So. And pop over and look at the price. The price is competitive with anything that you're buying. I guarantee whatever you're drinking, okay, is competitive.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah, you know,
I love the big boxes, like Folgers and...
Well, yeah, but anything that's kind of what I call gourmet steps off of that train.
And see, we're not allowed, like... We can't say gourmet, okay? Something with the laws. Really? Although that's the class.
Unfortunately, I privately can say gourmet because I'm not a Hagman employee.
No, that's see? Yeah.
So I can get away with that crap. It's fantastic coffee. Take my word for it. You can call it what you want. When you open the bag, especially of the beans.
Yeah.
Oh man. It's
anywhere in the U.S. From the roaster to the customer within 3 to 4 days.
That's fantastic. Doug, I'm just telling you. I know I'm a really good friend. I'm just telling you, it's really good coffee. You did fantastic with it. Ladies and gentlemen, try it.
All right. And that concludes the ad segment for the. No, but I appreciate that.
No, it needs to be talked about. It's a product on the show.
It's something, I'll tell you. But okay, getting back to the shredding order, man, this is bothering me. Here's Owen Schroyer. This is cut five. It's a minute 50, but we're going to play a little bit more. It's longer. I think it's 8 minutes long, but we're going to play the minute 50. Pause it, and then you and I are going to discuss what he says. Here it is.
USAID officials tell remaining staffers, shred and burn all your documents. The materials earmarked for destruction include contents of the agency's classified safes and personal documents at the Ronald Reagan Building, said in an email sent by USAID's Executive Director Erica Carr. Now, they shared this, or somehow Politico obtained this. Let me read from you the exact email. They're having a meeting this morning, and then she says, shred as many documents first and reserve the burn bags for when the shredder becomes unavailable or needs a break. They're going to be shredding so many documents, the shredder's going to break down. If you need to use the burn bags, do not overfill and ensure the burn bag can be closed with staples on top so nobody else can go in there and look at it. The only labeling required on the burn bags are the words secret and USAID in dark Sharpie if possible. If you need additional bags or Sharpie markers, please let me or the SEC info team know. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think this is the only agency that has sent out an email of this nature or some sort of a memo or a notice or activating people to shred and burn documents like this, well, I got news for you. You're wrong. I guarantee you similar things have gone through the FBI and other agencies that DOJ is looking at or that feel they could be targeted in other ways by the Trump administration.
And there it is. Before I get your take on that, Ruben McGroin, that's a good one. Dear in the chat, Ruben McGroin. We get that. Dear Pam Bondi, please send an email and list the five things you did last week. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. We've got some great people in the chat. And I'll say this, Red River Patriot and others, I see what you're talking about. We got somebody in that area that's a really great investigator, and that of course I'm referring to Jamie White. I'm just saying. Okay. And Eric Tech, thank you for putting that link up in the chat. You are like on fire all the time. I appreciate you. So RT, what'd you think of that?
It infuriates me. I you know what, I'd be getting some of these long-timers if I was going in and I was the boss. And I'd be setting some of these long-timers in, you know, that are trying to get to their 30 years to get the full pension and all.
Yeah.
And I would tell them, I'll lay down the law. Then if they don't comply, and they're not only getting fired, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them from getting their pension.
Well,
some of these people need to be stomped on, Doug, legally.
Oh, yeah.
Legally speaking.
Isn't that a criminal offense?
My opinion, to destroy government property that is not yours?
Yes.
Absolutely. Especially when you know that another government agency is coming for that. And it's supposed to be legally, it's the property of the government, should be turned over to them. I would think by all means. But you know what? They know they've got these activist judges and these prosecutors and all, they're not going to do anything to them. This is the problem we have in all of what Trump's trying to do. the penalties aren't stiff enough. The punishment isn't hard enough. You've got to get their attention. I mean, you've got to snap some heads off, upper level and lower level. Let them know from top to bottom, we're coming for you if you don't comply. And we are going to wreck your life because you're wrecking other people's lives. You're stealing from the American taxpayers.
Well, okay. And I would suspect Doge being involved, although it's not, I mean, would that not be obstruction of justice in addition to everything else, given Doge's investigative...
Given their mandate and their orders?
Yeah.
Yeah. What they're doing is defying President Trump himself. That's the way I would put it to him. If I was Trump, I'd get on the air. I'd get on national TV. And I'd tell him.
Well, they asked for some Sharpies.
You're telling me to stick it up my ass.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they're saying to him. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't stand for it. I would bring hell down on him, Doug, if I was President Trump. If I was Pam Bondi, if I was Cash Patel. You don't know. I mean, I wish somebody put me in those offices. Any one of them. I'd have taken any one of them. I could have run the FBI. I know how they operate. I'll tell you what, they wouldn't be jerking off the American people today. I can promise you that.
Well,
and
I do.
You know, and guess what?
Cash Patel.
You'd have the Epstein list.
Thank you. Tucker Carlson.
You know me. You know.
I know.
I would talk President Trump. Even if he had an objection, I would talk him into it.
Because
I would talk to him like the American voter, man. I am the American voter who wants to put you in office, pal. You know what I mean? That's what it boils down to. It boils down to the guy right now sitting in his living room watching television that voted for Donald Trump. It's that simple.
Man, we need the Epstein list. We need the Diddy list. By the way, I got some news on P. Diddy from Laura Loomer. Wait for this, folks. Hang in there. We have news. Also, that also involves the police chief.
Part of what would go wrong is BlackRock would probably get torn in half if we got the Epstein list, because most of the perverts on that list are probably somewhere in that company, in that conglomerate. Little later in the show, maybe we can discuss why would Donald Trump let BlackRock buy the two ports at each end of the Panama Canal.
That bothers me.
I put out a tweet last night. It really bothers me. That troubles me. It kept me awake last night because I feel like, what's going on that I'm not understanding here?
The Communist Chinese watch it go to a globalist,
big time globalist.
Right.
The master globalist, the guy that owns the companies that the globalists own. You know what I mean? He doesn't own them, but he's a conglomerate. He collects them. He runs them. He's like a management company for a lot of these places. So it's very troubling to me that, I don't know, just so years and years ago, Alex, and this is 25 years ago, 20 years ago, when I first met you about that time.
Right.
And Alex used to talk about the way that the globalists were going to break up the world, the different.
Right. The different regions.
And Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, and Greenland were a region. And then what's happening today? We're trying to suck up Mexico, Canada, and Greenland. And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this, and then I see this Panama Canal thing. Now, I'm just saying it's bothering me. Okay.
Because by the way, Saint Lodge in this in the chat. I just want to interject this. Yeah. The list. Okay, there was a list on the internet. Okay, we're not looking for that. We're looking for the more detailed.
Yeah. I don't need flight logs.
Right.
Flight logs. It really doesn't matter to me unless you can prove that the flight logs are easy to duplicate. Okay, and alter. And I'm just telling you because we've seen them altered already. But the flight list don't really tell me anything because anybody, including myself, could have got it on a plane and went to Epstein Island if I was trying to close a business deal or something. And I didn't know that Epstein was a pervert. Stop and think about it. Anyone could go down there. A number of people could go down there together and think that everything's cool. It's the ones that kept going back. It's the ones that engaged in the depraved sexual activity while they were there. They're the ones I want. I don't want to go after the ones that got on a plane and innocently went to Epstein Island. Because think about it. Until he was taken down, nobody knew about the island.
Right.
Okay, so if the general public didn't know, but... Really?
Generally,
anybody could have got on the plane with him. Because the guy was a very talented money guy.
I don't know, a
hedge fund manager.
Was he talented or was he?
Well, all right, but to get you on the plane, he'd only have to appear to be.
Okay, all right, I'll go with that.
We're talking right now. You and I and anybody else, we're talking way after the fact.
Right.
But if you'd said this Epstein Island, you know, hey, let's go to Epstein Island to meet 15 years ago.
Little St. James, basically,
but I would have said, oh, cool, man, it's Caribbean. Let's do it, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to party. But when you get down there, your behavior dictates whether you're the criminal or not. You know what I mean? I've never had trouble keeping my pecker in my pants.
And thank you for that, especially when we're working together.
Just as a general rule, let alone with kids. If somebody even suggested that to me, man, I'll tell you what, we'd have a problem if I didn't knock this son of a bitch out.
Man. Look, I think Tucker Carlson allegedly came out, and I just kind of glanced at this on X, where he said there are dark forces keeping this information from coming out, and he was talking about the release of the JFK files, the release of Epstein files, the P Diddy. I mean, he's talking about the whole gamut of things that were
promised. Let's look at that statement. And we have Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, and Donald Trump.
Right.
Who in there, first of all, is more powerful than Bondi and Patel? And then even further up the thing, why is Trump not pulling the trigger on this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm Donald Trump and you are able to threaten my FBI director and my DOJ attorney general, I need to know who you are because I am going to cut you. I'm going to cut you off at the knees. You understand what I'm saying? There should be a
how? But I'm okay. If they were vetted, I mean, Patel wrote a book, Government Gangsters. He named names. Mm-hmm. He was all for this, and just like that. Now, okay, folks, I get it. Things do take some time.
I know, but wouldn't you be calling people in your office, questioning them, and when they give you the wrong questions, tell them, you're out of here. No, you cannot go back to your desk. No, you cannot. Security? I would have security at the door when I brought them in to even talk to them, just so they know if they dance, give me the wrong, they lie to me, or I think they're lying. You're fired. Yeah. Get out of here. Head first through the front door. Out. Just like I used to do as a bouncer. You're out of here.
That's a good idea.
You'd have to be mean, Doug, because this evil is so embedded. This isn't normal. You got to go in here, you know, like the sword of Gideon. You got to go in like the Archangel, man.
I totally agree with you on that.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's listen to Owen Schroyer's analysis now. We heard the first minute 50 kind of set things up pretty much, but the analysis from here, very interesting. I thought it appropriate. What do you think, Maxwell? Yeah. Maxwell, the male studio dog, the younger guy. Yeah, come here.
Right. Come here. Right on.
Come up here. There we go. There we go. He loves the camera.
Let me tell you, in person, that is a lovable puppy. He is. He's a sweetheart.
He can be. Huh?
Him and Ranger don't get along all the time, but.
Yeah, I know. It just blows my mind the way he opens.
Kisses for Dad.
Exactly. He right opens. He opens the doors. Which just. Yeah.
He's a hell of an alarm system too. Let me tell you, if there's anything near the house, that dog knows it.
Yeah.
That dog knows it. He knows it long before we do.
I swear, at 5:30 in the morning, he. We have to talk.
He's handsome. That's a handsome pup.
Okay.
How's Lady doing, Doug?
She's doing pretty well.
Good. Yeah. She's good.
Just had her. By the way, folks, she had her. I know this. I know you might think that this is like a discombobulated program, but since you brought that up.
Welcome to the family.
Exactly. Lady has Cushing's disease, which is essentially a cancer of the thigh or the pituitary gland.
Yeah.
And she's 10 years and 7 months right now. And she was diagnosed 2.5 years ago. And that's just a hell of a disease. So I can tell you this. Her blood levels for the disease have come down tremendously.
Fantastic.
And the only difference that I've been doing is I've been giving her the NanoSoma from iwantmyhealthback.com, which we're affiliates, okay? But I've been giving her, five sprays once a day. And the vet asked what we were doing. And that's the only change we made. So, this stuff
Man,
works.
If it's working, stick with it, brother.
Yeah, actually.
She's a cool dog, too. First time I met Lady was many, many, many years ago. Went to Doug's house. And I just stuck my hand out to shake his hand. And I swear to God, she was going to attack me. You don't go near her, Dad.
No, that's true.
I'm just telling you. Don't go near her, Dad. She's dynamite comes in small packages.
I hopefully Nancy Stone, if you're still listening, thank you so much for what a wonderful gift, a painting of Lady the Studio Dog, and God bless you. But anyway, awesome. Okay, let's continue on. We're boring the people out there, I'm sure. This again, continuing is cut four, starting at roughly the 2-minute, 10-minute mark, or 2-minute, 10-second mark. Here it is. Rest of Owen.
Going to out, I think, other bureaucracies that are engaging in the same thing. USAID officials tell remaining staffers, shred and burn all your documents. The materials earmarked for destruction include contents of the agency's classified safes and personal documents at the Ronald Reagan Building, said in an email sent by USAID's executive director, Erica Carr. Now, they shared this, or somehow Politico obtained this. Let me read from you the exact email. They're having a meeting this morning, and then she says, shred as many documents first and reserve the burn bags for when the shredder becomes unavailable or needs a break. They're going to be shredding so many documents, the shredder's going to break down. If you need to use the burn bags, do not overfill and ensure the burn bag can be closed with staples on top so nobody else can go in there and look at it. The only labeling required on the burn bags are the words secret and USAID in dark Sharpie if possible. If you need additional bags or Sharpie markers, please let me or the SEC info team know. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think this is the only agency that has sent out an email of this nature or some sort of a memo or a notice or activating people to shred and burn documents like this, well, I got news for you. You're wrong. I guarantee you similar things have gone through the FBI and other agencies that DOGE is looking at or that feel they could be targeted in other ways by the Trump administration. Now, there's no way they anticipated this email would get leaked, but here it is. So the questions are obvious. Why, as USAID is being investigated, as all the fraud, waste, and abuse at USAID, and then the kickbacks and everything else are about to be exposed, why are they burning and shredding documents? And is that even legal? Of course not. This is all illegal. But they're willing to commit this illegal act because it's going to cover up the even bigger crimes that they engaged in, which is going to be in these documents. Holy smokes. This needs to get to Elon Musk immediately. This needs to get to Donald Trump immediately. The DOGE team needs to look into this right now. Now, they apparently did this morning. The email says we're meeting and doing a burning and shredding party of all these secret documents to cover up our crimes this morning. So it might be too late. But folks, let's be perfectly clear. They've been doing this at the FBI. I guarantee to you, holdovers from the Biden administration that are either still there or gone sent orders like this out, probably not dumb enough to do it on an email, but to burn and shred documents that will expose them for crimes they've committed. This must get to DOGE and Musk and Cash Patel. I mean, I'd say Pam Bondi, but, you know, I don't know if that does us any good, but, you know, give it to Pam Bondi, too. Folks, this is huge. They are actively covering up their crimes right now, and they're doing it across all these agencies. I mean, this is it. They are caught red-handed. Isn't it obvious? Why are they so afraid of DOGE? Because DOGE is going to expose their crimes. The United States taxpayer, the U.S. Treasury, all these spending bills have been filled with so much waste, fraud, and abuse, it's criminal. And when the forensic auditors trace and track the money trail, they're going to find kickbacks to politicians and political groups. They are literally shredding and burning the evidence of a potential criminal operation right now in Washington, D.C. This is huge. They are caught red-handed.
Okay. Now, Artsy, I mean, once that email was read, after he got through that, he made some really good, I think, good investigative points. I'm going to turn it to you. It's kind of what we said, but I think he's
right. And the other, my next question is, I doubt that they dispose of the burn bags on the property where they're at. I'm sure somebody comes and picks them up.
I believe there's a process.
I would put a stop order on that. And if it's a company, believe me, the threat of losing the business of the United States government, be it Iron Mountain or whoever it is that comes and does their shredding for them, maybe they handle the burn bags too. I don't know. If they do, I would have been on the phone and I told them, if you get caught shredding anything, you burn, I don't care if you burn a cigarette near a burn bag, you will lose the contract, right, and you will be prosecuted. They can put an end to that. What that email and all that can be, that should have already been handled today before we ever went on the air.
I've put together shredded documents before. I mean, it's not fun. It takes a long time, but especially, and I'm sure
today they cross shred them too.
I get that.
Oh man,
which I mean, thank goodness, I only had one document, one cross-shredded document, which was almost impossible. But
back in the day, it was okay.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that bad. We did in the military in division headquarters, we would take that, we'd put it in a blender with water, do that, and then down the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. I say yeah, like I know that, but
you've told me that before. Yeah.
Right. So okay.
Read that.
Yeah. Why do you think, and let's take this maybe to the next level, why do you think maybe that email was leaked?
How about employees that are tired of this crap? Just because the boss thinks that Donald Trump's, and bear in mind, the bosses are probably leftists.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? Because they're the ones that kissed Biden's ass and got this position, this USA and all that. It's all, as far as I'm concerned, there is so much corruption in there. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you know what? They were giving money out to everybody. And that's why the left and Congress and everybody on the left are so angry, is because people that they've made deals with and signed special things and got special things sent to their NGOs and all, they're pissed because now they're going to lose their house and their businesses. So they're calling up the congressman and going, what the hell's going on? So then the congressman's pissed because his phone's ringing all day. Because Elon Musk is tearing them up.
Yeah.
Which I think is just fantastic, you know. But I don't think every employee is a bad employee. So I would see it. I could see it leaked out. Yeah. Okay. I would leak it out if I worked there. I'd leak it out.
Well, yeah.
You would.
But you know, when you're working for USAID, man, that's really, when you say not every employee is a bad employee, perhaps not. But in order to work for a company like that, their ideological bias, man, I don't know how you could.
But at the lower level, do you really know that if you're processing, you know, checks, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? It depends what your job is. The top decision makers, they all know that it's crap.
Right.
It's been crap. It should, and you know what? George Soros is all over that.
Oh,
they've already determined that they could directly link over $130 million a year in payments going to that guy.
Yep.
Into his outfits. And bear in mind, Soros has got front companies, all kinds of crap. Soros should already be in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
I could tell you. If I was a prosecutor and working for the DOJ, I would have already tied into a murder somewhere.
The color revolution in the U.S. that Soros is... By the way...
When they burnt down our country, Doug, in the riots...
He had a hand in the funding of that.
Absolutely. Tie him to that, take him to jail, because people died... I would get conspiracy and commit murder charges.
I totally agree. And so it's interesting because on the same level of this, the thread, page 4 in the Hagman show notes, Laura Loomer comes out and she exposes Reid Hoffman. Now, Reid Hoffman is an associate colleague, I guess, maybe once removed from George Soros. Now, Reid Hoffman is the guy behind all of the impeachment stuff. Okay. I mean, he's responsible for the impeachment stuff. But on this, okay, so Laura Loomer,
he was tied into Adam Schiff somehow.
Well,
probably
financial backing. I mean, so somebody in the chat mentioned the 1630 fund, and congrats, because I tell you what, we got the smartest people watching and listening. But so Laura Loomer called out Reid Hoffman just one more of Elon's false claims, Hoffman said about Laura Loomers, or about Elon Musk calling out the violence. Okay, Musk called out the violence against Tesla. And he said, look, some of this money's coming from Reid Hoffman. Well, Reid Hoffman said to the email, just one of Elon's false claims about me. I never funded anyone for Tesla protests. I don't condone violence and so on. Okay. And then Loomer comes out and said, actually, Reid Hoffman, you are lying. I did some investigating myself and have the receipts to prove you are lying to Elon Musk. And she writes, upon my investigation, I discovered that Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn and a Jeffrey Epstein associate, here's Epstein again, who visited Epstein or Little St. James Island numerous times, is a donor to the Hopewell Fund. IRS records from 2023 prove the Hopewell Fund has provided funding to the 1630 Fund. And then she provides a screenshot to that. And FEC records reveal that the 1630 Fund has contributed to Sunrise. It's a PAC, which is linked to the Sunrise Movement. The same organization, as she exposed yesterday, that is behind the violent protests at Tesla dealerships all across the nation. Folks, I urge you to follow or read, at least click on the link at HagmanPI.com in the show notes for today and read this thread. And if you have to go back a day or two or several posts, and understand how incestuous all this is. So she did all, I mean, the homework behind Reid Hoffman and the connection to Soros and Epstein Island and the violence taking place all across the country. RT, man.
A lot of this is tied together.
Yeah,
because in the background, you got the same players ultimately at the top. The what we catch and what we see and who's caught, this all low level stuff.
Right, right.
We want the people that are funding this. We want the Soros types and higher than him. Okay, because Georgie Boy answers to somebody too.
Well, yes. And you know, at that level, folks, you don't have to believe this. As conspiratorial as it sounds, you've got the 13 families or bloodlines, whatever you want to call them. You've got the, some people call them, of course, the Illuminati, you know, and regardless of whatever you want to call them, these people think they run the world. And I suspect that they do.
Yeah, they have been running the world because nobody stopped them. And that's what I've been saying all along. Trump can only do so much. We're going to have to get involved.
Exactly.
I'm serious. Get your passports ready. I'm going to have my legs soon. Look out. Because I'm going to use that foot to kick asses.
I have no doubt in my mind about that.
We've got to take advantage of the time while Trump's in office.
Well, okay. Now, okay, about that. So, okay, we covered or we talked about the USAID, the fraud, the cover-up, which led to the Loomer post exposing Reid Hoffman, Soros, and so on. Yeah, down on the thread, she even has a photo of a protester wearing a Sunrise Movement T-shirt or shirt. It's pretty tight investigative reporting. Mm-hmm. President Trump today was asked about the domestic terrorism aspect of this. And I know that was a part of the conversation, RT, on a couple of conservative news programs say, well, if they're going after Tesla or Tesla's, the dealerships and whatever, then there is, by definition, a terrorism element to this. This goes beyond criminal damages.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, so, and Trump's making a big effort on this because he's now, he went after Columbia University and he actually made an arrest. They had an arrest made.
That's right.
Because these people that are in the country and you're on a green card from another country that are running these protests, okay, anti-American protests, you're arrested, you're out of here.
Yeah, Glenn Beck talked about that this morning.
I love
on his program. Yeah,
get him out of here.
A green card, and I think Glenn Beck was saying essentially, it'd be like that guy going into your house and
or a visa just for school.
Right.
That's what he said, and that's it.
Yeah. Well,
and
I'll tell you what.
And I'll bet you, if you went to a Tesla protest, you'd probably find one of them clowns there.
Oh, 100. No, 100%.
Because it's experts. These guys that organize this stuff are experts. And that's who you got to go after. You got to cut the head off the snake. It's like if you're in combat and you know that there's a squad and you can see them, you're in a firefight, kill the lieutenant. Kill the boss.
Yeah.
It's over. Firefight's over.
Well, here is cut seven. President Trump today standing by his Tesla talking about. Is that the one I want? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay, because there were several, and they overlapped, several cuts from this. But here's cut seven. It's a minute 25. I think that this is the one that contains all of the elements we need. Cut seven here. Donald Trump talking about this very issue. Here it is.
He talks about some of the violence that's been going on around the country at dealerships. Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
I'll do it. I'm going to stop them. We catch anybody doing it because they're harming a great American company. You know, I've stuck up for the NFL. I've stuck up for a lot of American companies and other companies, but American companies. I did a very big favor for the NFL. I do favors for all of them. When you hurt an American company, especially a company like this, supplies so many jobs that others are unable to do, when you do that, those people are going to go through a big problem when we catch them. And we have a lot of cameras up. We already know who some of them are. We're going to catch them. And they're bad guys. They're the same guys that screw around with our schools and universities, the same garbage. And no, we're going to catch them. And let me tell you, you do it to Tesla and you do it to any company, we're going to catch you and you're going to go through hell.
Mr. President, what are you telling CEOs tonight at the business roundtable, especially with the...
Well, I have a roundtable to make in a little while. I just consider this much more important because I want to buy one of these. My whole staff is so excited because I told them they're going to safely use them, and they can't believe it. So, Margo, wherever you are, Margo, she's going to use it. They're all going to be using it.
You can cut that. He made his point. And we'll just flip right now to cut eight. This addresses.
And he tied it to the university system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's no way you cannot.
Nope. It cost Columbia University $400 million in federal money. Their support of these people.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
$400 million.
That's a hell of a price tag for an ideology that you know.
Yeah. But, well, they're cleaning up their act now. I think they're hoping for a second chance, but Trump cut $400 million out right off from under them.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, this is a discussion about arresting a protest leader. And this is cut eight. It's just over a minute 15. Check this out.
And President Trump, there's this protest leader from Columbia University that the administration is moving to deport. And he said that his arrest is going to be the first of many. How many?
I think we ought to get them all out of the country. They're troublemakers. They're agitators. They don't love our country. We ought to get them the hell out. I think that guy, we ought to get him. I heard his statements, too. They were plenty bad. And I think we ought to get him the hell out of the country. I watched him. I watched tapes. Specifically, I watched tapes. And you can have them, okay? You can have them, and you can have the rest of them. Let them go to school. Let them learn. Columbia used to be a good school. Now it's been overrun because of bad leadership. That's what happens. Happens to countries, and it happens to universities. And it happens to companies. And I don't want it to happen to a guy that did nothing wrong. He did everything right because he did a great company. But what he did by coming into government to help government from years of abuse, from decades of abuse. And you see that when you look at Social Security, where you have 200-year-old people on the rolls of Social. That's just, he uses the word care. People don't care. Everyone knows this. But it's also, I believe it's also large fraud. I think it's that. But I think it's also large fraud.
Yep, and it's fraud because they got away with it for so many years. They just think that's the norm. That's the whole shock to this. It's the left has thought, well, that's just the norm. That's how we do things. No, right. It's not. It's over. It's right. Done. And they are flipping out.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing to watch them try and live on their salaries. Lindsey Graham knows an audit's coming. the way I've never seen a guy change sides so fast whenever the pressure's on. Are you kidding me? If he ever grows testicles, we'll hear him pop out.
I don't know about Linda if that's even possible.
Ooh, Lindsay?
Yeah. I just reference him as Linda.
It's like Chuck Schumer. He knows his day is coming. Adam Schiff knows his day is coming. That's why he's running his gator so much.
Oh. Schiff is in a world of hurt. I would not be surprised to see him like the first to go down.
I'm going to say before the end of this year, charges are laid against him. He's going to go to jail and it's going to be a no bond hold.
I'm going to write that down.
I think so. And I'll tell you why. One, he's got shitty friends all around the world. Okay. But this guy is guilty of treason about lying and trying to set up a sitting president. That is some serious, serious stuff.
He can't go down alone.
No. Oh, I can't wait. Down. He's going to take Venmo with him. When they squeeze that little pimple, you watch what comes out. It's going to be amazing because Adam Schiff is a coward. Adam Schiff, threatened with jail time and knowing he can't get out of it, is going to sing like a bird. It's going to sound like a pet store where he's at.
Hey, we're still working on getting the files released, you know. So this could be hopium or a pipe dream. I don't know.
Well, I can dream, Doug.
But I'll tell you what, that's one individual that needs to see the inside of a cell along with others. Now here's it, folks, changing gears a little bit. Just as Laura Loomer made the connections between Soros and Hoffman and the different groups and PACs, and these are all leftists, by the way, communists, if you will, and they're sharing the same bed with the Muslims. Okay. Now we learn that Maui police chief John Pelletier, you know him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's been named. Now listen to this. Now obviously this
is tell everybody real quick where he used to be.
Well, he was the police chief in Las Vegas, or the police commander who covered everything up.
Amazing events. And who would leave Las Vegas and go to a little place in Maui? A paid-off man.
Yeah, precisely. Know it in your soul. So if you're wondering what Nick Sorter had pushed this out on a social media post on X, okay? Maui Police Chief John Pelletier gave the order to trap victims in the Lahaina fire, has now been named as a co-conspirator in the Diddy case. He also happened to be the incident commander, not the chief. My apologies, during the Las Vegas shooting. But with regard to these allegations now, Pelletier forcibly took a Diddy victim at gunpoint from Vegas to California to be raped. By posing as a sheriff executing a fake warrant. Now, this according to the suit. Now, understand these are just allegations at this point, but okay. Allegations made under oath. We'll see. Now, even after these incidents occurred, Pelletier was still named chief of Maui police, and the devastating fires happened shortly after. Many questions have loomed as to whether or not children went missing after the fires. RT talks about this. Mm-hmm. We talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And where entire families disappeared without a trace. The government disputes this claim. Little grammar error there. And the claims have not been verified.
And let me tell you, I think so, they have. I lived in Hawaii for many years. Okay.
Yes, the Hawaiian people.
It would take very few of them to actually jump up and scream out about something. They're very peaceful, kind people. They don't necessarily the true natives don't necessarily like holidays. The white people, okay, and they don't like popolos. The black people, right? But if you get to know them, which I did. They called me Blue Eye. That's what the girls called me, Blue Eye, the old Hawaiian woman. Hey, look, it's Blue Eye. They love me. Okay? They're peaceful people. And if their family went missing, they would certainly ask questions. But they're also a very trusting people if someone in authority tells them something. And they believe that their day will come. I'm just telling you how Hawaiians are. Now, you're going to have some younger ones, more rebellious, that would jump up, yell and scream, and, you know, want justice. That's cool. We need them, okay? But I understand how entire families could disappear, and they'd be told, the Hawaiians make an inquiry, because you don't know the extent of these families in Hawaii. It goes back all decades and decades and decades and generations.
Generational.
Unbelievable. Right. Yeah, right. And they're very protective of each other. And I'm honestly surprised we haven't heard more from a legal, but these are very, you get into Maui in these small towns like this, these are not wealthy people. Okay, I'm just telling you, as a rule, the Hawaiian people aren't wealthy. They wouldn't be able to get fancy lawyers. You know what I'm saying?
There's so much going on in Maui
that we don't know. And that we need answers to, especially when we look at the patterns of the fires.
Of course.
And we look at the behavior once the fire started.
Yes.
That's key. That's very key here. Because anywhere else, not in the Hawaiian Islands, but if that happened, say, in San Francisco, they'd be screaming. There would be investigations. Maui is unto its own little world. You have to go there to understand it. People have been in Maui, been in Oahu. You know, Oahu and Maui are so different. So if you've been to Oahu, where I was stationed, that's right. One thing. The people there are one way. Go to the other side of the island, and then you get more of what you would meet on Maui. Get away from the cities. Go out in the country. And those are the people I knew. Okay? They had the best weed. Shame. I was a young man then, okay? And I did inhale.
I'm sure you did.
But there's so much in Maui we don't know, Doug.
Okay, a couple of things that you mentioned. I get the generational inhabitation of Maui, and I understand that. And I also understand, too, you have entire families missing along with children missing. Now, hold on a second. You have the chief of police, who it's my understanding right now, the mayor of Maui or the Lahaina is actually telling Pelletier to step down, or he should step down, or something to the effect of if you don't, I'll arrange it. Okay. But.
Because he's probably local, right?
Yes.
Right. So there you go. Why is there even a guy like this Pelletier in that position.
I'll tell you why. Oprah helped. Oprah Winfrey helped.
It should be, that should be, and honestly, that job should be a local cop in that position. He gets so much more done. It gets, he knows how to deal with the people. He would have done, and this wouldn't have happened because he would have died getting the kids out of there.
Yeah. Instead of turning him into the fire.
Now, this guy, Peltier, his day's gone.
So, and remember, the shooting that we're, the Vegas incident we're talking about, where he was an incident commander, it was 2017, the deadliest. And this is funny because we never hear about this, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. 50
Trump
people
had just
were killed.
Taken office, Doug.
Yeah. It was October 1st.
So much distraction going on. And we never got an answer back then as to what the hell happened. So many different versions. People say the man was dead when they got to the room. He was already dead. And there were other shooters. You know, I mean, I've heard that. And then I've heard other versions where the guy was still alive and shooting. Nobody, so far as I'm concerned, has come out and said the absolute truth.
And I'm pretty well convinced, Artie, that the Vegas shooter, the Stephen Paddock, was dead and propped up in that chair.
Okay. And I'll go with you on that.
I mean, we could talk for two contiguous shows about the weird things about the Las Vegas shooting.
Sadly, his wife, all of it. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it really is crazy. So keep your eye on this story because, again, you squeeze somebody like this, who knows? Now, he could be, he could be Clinton, he could commit suicide, a couple of bullets in the back of his head, right? I mean, who knows?
They need to take him over to Oahu and go up in the go up into the Kahuku Mountain Range, have a question and answer period.
Put your hand down to be the questioner. Yeah, I know you want to be the interrogator. No, although we get answers, that's for sure.
Oh, you know it. It's the truth.
Exactly. Now. Here, I found this interesting. Since we're talking about layers deep, this is only 27 seconds long. But Alina Haba, President Trump's lawyer, I like her spunk.
I love her. She's
so she apparently she did some radio show or something, but she did it from Biden's fake Oval Office. Okay, so what this...
I know, Doug. I never looked it up. Where is that located?
I'm not 100% sure. Okay. And I mean that. Okay. I'm not 100% sure.
The only reason we figured it out is I remember we were looking when you could look out the windows of the fake office and look out the windows of the Oval Office. It was two different scenes outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the way people figured out, wait a minute, there's something going on here. I remember that.
Well,
and I never knew why. Was that a secondary because of attack threats or
no? It was according to Alina Haba, it was so he could read a larger teleprompter. Which okay, I can almost buy. But you know, if I said Eric the tech, I can't read or I can't see the preview screen. he would just say, "Okay, well, you know what you need to do. You need to get like a 110-inch television or whatever." You know,
to visit your eye doctor.
That too. You know,
it is Eric.
thicker glasses. But the
be like, what do you want me to do?
Let's move the Oval Office or just buy a bigger screen.
There you go. Don't try and use logic here, sir.
Okay. So keep that in mind because they could do anything like that. I mean, they could buy a huge screen. Yeah. But Alina Hava says, look, there's a teleprompter right in front of me. So the reason I picked this 27 seconds is because the camera pans around this whole stage area. So I don't know. Folks, please, if you're watching this, pay attention to this. And in the chat, drop any kind of ideas. Hey, this looks suspect or whatever, if you see anything, because I'm not sure I'm buying the teleprompter thing, but here it is, 27 seconds. This is cut 3 in the show notes. Here it is.
Look at the room that they put me in. We're in Biden's fake Oval Office, everybody. And I've actually figured this out. I now know why. I now get it. Turn the camera around. There is a screen, teleprompter to the face. All I can say is the last administration was a disgrace.
Disgrace, obviously.
Is she married? No, I'm just curious. Is she married?
I don't know.
Well, she's a hell of an attorney. I know that.
Yeah.
Man. And behind those walls is the moon landing.
There you go. If I had the money, that's not her. No, she's a killer, man. When she bites into something, those teeth stay in there.
Well, okay. But my question is, okay, she did a quick pan around, all right?
Why don't you run it one more time, Eric? Can you do that?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
One more time, sir.
You guys, I just finished a show. Look at the room that they put me in. We're in Biden's fake Oval Office, everybody. And I've actually figured this out. I now know why. I now get it. Turn the camera around. There is a screen, teleprompter to the face. All I can say is the last administration was a disgrace.
I don't think that's a reason. That's just me looking at that. I don't. Eric the Tech, your thoughts? I mean, the teleprompters they use are pretty doggone close to your face.
And he did do public appearances with teleprompters.
Well, that teleprompter's probably on wheels. They probably wheel it up when he speaks and wheel it back for space.
Okay, but why couldn't you do that in the Oval Office? Wheel it in, plug it in.
They could have just put that teleprompter in the Oval Office.
I just don't know. That doesn't.
But they move the Oval Office.
I don't know. That never made sense to me.
I'm checking the chat. Chatsters, go ahead and tell me what you think.
Weigh in, please. Yeah, Eric, why would you think they honestly would move it? Teleprompter story aside.
Because they didn't want him in the White House. Embarrassing.
Okay. Think they had more control over there somehow?
Yeah.
Okay.
They could just take a nap on the side.
And what's with the massive window there?
Was that a window or was that a TV screen?
It looked like a window to me.
It's a TV screen.
Yeah. Okay, beyond the sofa.
Or a rear projected screen.
Okay. It looked like a series of screens in there, so no matter where dipshit looked, he would see what was on the teleprompter.
Yeah, it's a small newsroom.
Yeah.
What it is.
I'll tell you what, this the more we dig and the more we see, what a farce that presidency was. We are lucky that the country's still here, honestly, because everything we see was a recipe for disaster. And then when we find out that Hunter Biden was controlling everything towards the end there and what his dad was seeing, who his dad was allowed to see, you know how crazy that is? The crackhead in charge of everything? Unbelievable.
Okay, so from the chat, by the way, I think that was in the executive office building. I'm not sure. Interesting. Crucifix files, so no Oval Office related crimes could be charged. Okay.
Control of the recording, because everything in the Oval Office is recorded.
That's true.
No matter what, by the Secret Service. It is recorded. So maybe they were able to bypass things.
Sisters being thinking control, right? Okay. Fake Biden stand-ins by Feed the Birds,
789. Very good.
Let's see here.
We know those existed, too. One day you see Mr. Muscles, and then the other day you see Mr. Flab. His arm's worse than mine, Lug.
Texas Tech 88, because he was a fake president and didn't have access to the real Oval Office. Yeah, that's interesting, because remember when he couldn't get into the Oval or get into the White House on his inauguration day? I don't know if that's related, but it's interesting nonetheless.
I would go with the body doubles.
Okay.
That would make more sense. I like that, whoever said that.
Yeah. Okay. That was, I lost it here.
I'll tell you what, they use body doubles more for him than any other president in history.
Yeah.
Realistically. And the sad part was that we could tell the difference. And stop and think about that, a body double speaking to the cameras. Now, they usually tried to keep them in the distance, jogging and riding bikes and, getting a snapshot of them, a little video, most of the body doubles. But there's times that the body doubles spoke because we saw them.
Who in the hell does he think he is? Does he think he is?
There you go. But what a farce. The whole presidency was a farce. I'm lucky we're not already in World War III, and that probably lost ground to China, Doug, that we don't even realize that we lost.
Flippity jibbity nonsense.
Yeah, smack him. I'll take him behind the gym. Yeah, okay. All right, something to think about, folks. We're going to be digging on this, Deb.
That's a really good question, Doug.
Well, again, things are weird. Okay.
Things go boom.
There's something that's bugging me, and I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe it's the entirety of things that we're seeing or not seeing, but there's something not.
And where is Biden now? Where is he now? I saw something on Twitter from him.
Somebody's asking the same question. Has anyone seen him? No.
Yeah. No. We had Obama. When Obama left office, we had that black son of a bitch up our butts every other time there was a camera near him. And pardon my language, but I as a Christian cannot stand, and I wish the worst for Barack Hussein Obama, because he's not going to turn to Christianity. He's not. He's here to destroy the United States of America.
Yes.
And he's
and his whole presidency was damaging, and he's kept right on working behind the scenes to bring this country down. And he has to be stopped, president or no president. If they could press charges against President Trump, they need to press charges against Barack Hussein Obama. And there's plenty of them. He killed Americans.
And where's Big Mike?
He needs to be taken down. He needs to be in custody. We could do without him. The human race does not need Barack Hussein Obama. Our country will last a lot longer if that son of a gun went around.
Danny Boy Smith says, Alex, I suspect Jones, reported Obama is working from London. Folks, I know you know this, but there's London and then there's the city of London where even the queen or king must bow. And that's the official capital or the monetary capital, as well as the, if you want to call them the Illuminati, the bloodline, the royal family bloodline. That's where they really conduct business. I think it's a 1 square mile area. It's kind of like the Vatican. It's its own entity.
It's the core.
Yeah, but it's the city of London within London. I just want to mention that.
Aniston's hanging out there.
Aniston with Barry? I don't know.
What's up with Charles now addressing the world? Does anybody here really give a rat's ass what Charles has to say?
Well, I think they do.
Oh, that's so scary.
Aleister Crowley came out and said, look, you know, we have to hide in plain sight. And I'm paraphrasing. Yep. Because that's what the rules are.
He's probably one of those national security deals on that Epstein list. They've tracked down other royalties hanging out. This Mark Carney, his apparently he likes hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell, him and his wife.
Yeah, that's, I've heard that. Bank president.
Yeah, yep. Carney, the nickname Carnage, Mark Carnage. And since when does somebody, if you stop and think about what Justin Trudeau did, he could have appointed a third world dictator in charge of Canada, because he just picked somebody.
How did that happen with Carney?
No idea. There's people say that Carney, because he was over there in England working at the banks and everything and handling banks in Canada, that he was kind of a controlling Trudeau to a degree.
Okay.
Because stop and think about it. Carney has no political experience. Guy's got 3 passports. He's citizens of multiple countries. He's a U.S. citizen, too. Canadian citizen, U.S. And I think U.K.
Okay.
But stop and think about that. He was tied in with BlackRock somehow as a trustee. He also tied in with a bank in England as a trustee. Those are trustees for bankruptcy. What is he doing in Canada? And I mentioned it to Eric, I think, yesterday, day before yesterday. There's some documents floating around. And these are legitimate documents, okay? Signed by a Queen of England. That, after the American Civil War, England owed the United States a ton of money. And she signed Canada over to the United States.
Now, I've heard that. Can that be verified?
Yes. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'll send you the documents we have so far.
Okay.
There's a guy that comes on and he talks about it. And it's a long tape. And I'm going to ask Doug after Doug clears this. This guy's been working on this for years. I've followed him for years and listened to him. He's not on Twitter. He's over on Facebook.
Yes.
This guy this guy knows what he's talking about. And he goes in and somehow got into archives in Canada. He got permission to go in there and he found the documents that he was looking for. This goes back to pre-1900. This goes back to like 1867. Okay.
Right.
And Doug, I'm going to send you the recording. I think I sent it to you once. I'll send it to you again. But hear the guy out. Then I'm going to follow up with.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. I'm going to send you a link. He looks like Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
You know, like an old hippie and all. The guy's smart. The guy's smart as hell.
Okay.
He's been encamped outside of Ontario for about 2 years now on somebody's property with thousands of followers. I mean, this guy.
Right.
He's the one that said, no violence, guys. Canada is actually a corporation.
Well, the same thing with the U.S.
But you know where their address of that corporation is?
D.C.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Also,
I remember
Queen,
some of this.
There's documents that says that the Queen, okay, and it's something like upon her death, that Canada was supposed to be turned over to the United States.
Well, okay, and... So put that in the context of President Trump saying, "What if he could be the 51st state?" Right?
That's what I thought. He might have
rather arbitrary.
Yeah. Well, he could get if he had wind of it, and it's if it was it doesn't matter how many years have passed. If a Queen of England signed the documents stands.
So all of this together, okay, there's a lot of weird crap going on. I'm telling you, a lot of
when
weird
it's all
stuff
over,
going on.
We might have 63 states talking about 64 if you count Greenland. There's 13 provinces and territories up in Canada, okay? All of those. I wouldn't want Canada as a state. I would like to see every province as an individual state if that ever happened. That would need to be. The other problem with Canada is, do you really want to suck all those liberals in the United States? That is the scary part. That part would have to be spoken, talked about, because there's a liberal curse in Canada. Okay? It's horrible. I've watched what it's done. I set foot in Canada for the first time about 17 years ago as an adult.
Right.
17 years ago when I met my wife. And it was really a pretty cool place back then. The last 10 years, no.
No, I don't.
No, sir.
After what happened with the truckers, have a tendency to forget that.
Yeah. I mean, and you're talking about treading of civil rights. You're talking about bringing cops in on horses to trample protesters.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? And Canada is supposed to. Justin Trudeau used to protest all the time when he was younger. And now suddenly his father,
Castro.
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate community organizer. But again, that conspiracy theory seems to be coming true more and more as we learn more about Trudeau. But okay.
Thank you. And his actions. His actions speak louder than words. That's the scary part. And the Canadians have to live with us.
That's right.
And here's the. Let me tell you something else that's bad. The guy that's in charge of the Conservative Party, Pierre, he's a liberal in a conservative suit. He believes in climate change. He was involved with the World Economic Forum years ago. He won't come out. He did there for a while when he first got elected and talked against the World Economic Forum and that nobody in his government should be allowed. He doesn't talk about that anymore. He talks crap on Trump, which really, if he was smart, he'd realize that a good majority of the conservatives in Canada, back Trump because they know he's not going to slap 25% tariffs on them. Donald Trump is a negotiator. He threw that out there just like he threw out the 51st state. He's setting the table. There will be negotiations. There will be tariffs. And he told them why. Because you guys have dropped the ball on the border.
Fentanyl, as well as the tariffs. Canada's charging the U.S. 300% on certain items.
Yeah. And here's the thing. They've been charging the U.S. astronomical tariffs. And when they say they don't, they're liars.
No, it was on the news.
I know, it was in the news conference today. I know people on the inside. America's been getting screwed by Canada for years. And another thing, America, we've been providing security for those ungrateful bastards.
Oh, yeah.
The reason they don't speak Russian today is because they're attached to the United States. I don't think they have 15 fighter jets in total. They don't have a single aircraft carrier. They don't have a destroyer. These people have nothing except the United States watching their ass.
Exactly.
Yep. And they're ungrateful about it and think they're going to go, we're going to teach you a lesson. You couldn't teach yourself a lesson.
Well, okay.
And I have Canadians that I love and care about.
The United States has the people.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the population. Million. Yeah.
And Canada's population has increased, by 8 million people in the last 10 years.
Through importation.
Yes. And listen, you can't get a hospital bed. I'm telling you, you can't get a family doctor up there. I'm just telling you, I have family there. I still go there. Okay, I'm just telling you. It's pretty bad in Canada. And don't blame, people get mad, go blame Doug Ford and blame the premiers that run the provinces. It ain't their fault. If you had a province and you're budgeted for your people, and then all of a sudden the federal government dumps about 5 million people on you, what are you going to do? You got to try and make it work. You know what I'm saying? Because unfortunately, when people go to a place like Canada and, you know, get refugees and all that, and the immigrants come in, they don't go and go out into the plain states. They don't go north. They go to Toronto. Well, do you know what? Toronto can only handle so much. Toronto, when I first went to Canada, when I first met my wife, it was a beautiful city. You go down the streets, you'd go. I used to look in the alleyways and was amazed there was no trash. It looked like somebody had gone out there and scrubbed them. The place was immaculate, and not so much anymore. It's really, things are bad. And when the illegals come in and say, we're going home, I'll tell you what, things have gotten bad.
Yeah.
Wow. Things have gotten bad. What have they got? Where's Canada? They have 1,700 aircraft. Fighter aircraft, they got 66.
Canada's on the right. U.S. is on the left.
Okay. Yeah. Big difference there, isn't it? Yeah, and they actually, I saw somewhere where somebody laid out attack plans. If Canada attacked the U.S., this is what would happen. I'm like, what are you, high? You know, you realize people have guns in the United States, have weapons. The civilian population could keep the Canadian military out, believe me. Yep, you see that?
Yeah.
They're absolutely depending on the United States for their protection, always have. And I just think it's, I can't believe how ungrateful they are in that aspect alone. Same thing with these other NATO countries. And President Trump's been harping and harping and harping about NATO not paying their bills. He got them to do much better in his last term, but they're still not up to par. And they want to go to war? No, what they want is the U.S. to go to war on their behalf. And I personally say, Europe, defend yourself. You've been talking all this crap, you defend yourself. Now let's see what happens. And now, thank goodness, somebody with some sense has got Ukraine to agree to a ceasefire for a month.
Thank you, Marco Rubio and Mr. Walls. I want to...
Aircraft carrier take, zero.
look at that.
Submarines, four. Yeah, they're probably about the size of Japanese submarines. After the conversion rate, they have 1.5. Destroyers, look at us. 81 destroyers, they have zero. Look at this, frigates, we don't even use them anymore. They have 32. I think we sold them to them. Eric, that was tremendous what you're putting up. And I hope we've got some people watching, because you're going to argue with your neighbors. I know my neighbors have gotten crappy with me up in Canada over Donald Trump. Well, there's one good argument right there, which you were just shown by Eric.
Yeah.
Eric, what's the website you're at?
Globalfirepower.com.
Bingo. There you go,
folks. Compare any countries, and Canada will fall short of most of them.
Yep. Isn't that amazing? And that proves to you what I just said. They depend on us for their security, and they're ungrateful. I'm sorry.
Speaking of ungrateful, Eric the Tech, I know you're busy. I sent you a time-stamped link to the press conference today to build upon what RT was talking about. and including ungrateful. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that we've been getting ripped off for years. This is Carolyn Leavitt. I don't know if you got Eric the Tech, if you did. This is a reporter talking about tariffs and how wrong they are, essentially. And again, I'm painting with a broad brush, but the response really, I mean, she was prepared for the question.
Mm-hmm. And the reporter, somebody with no skin in the game, you know what I mean?
Well, it was incredible how this reporter, and the full clip, I think I might have.
This will be good.
but check this out. This is Carolyn Leavitt addressing the tariff situation. And then I think I have a separate, I think I pulled that separate clip of the AP. Yeah, I did. The AP reporter. But here is the one I just sent you, Eric. Check this out. Listen to what she says about the Canadian tariffs and other tariffs against the U.S. Now, Japan and rice, okay, I kind of get that, but in a way, but it shouldn't be. But here it is. If you can start at that timestamp.
Our workers here, it is egregious. In fact, I have a handy-dandy chart here that shows not just Canada, but the rate of tariffs across the board. If you look at Canada, since you brought it up, American cheese and butter, nearly 300% tariff. You look at India, 150% tariff on American alcohol. You think that's helping Kentucky bourbon be exported into India? I don't think so. 100% tariff on agricultural products from India. Look at Japan, tariffing rice, 700%. President Trump believes in reciprocity, and it is about dang time that we have a president who actually looks out for the interests of American businesses and workers. And all he's asking for at the end of the day are fair and balanced trade practices. And unfortunately, Canada has not been treating us very fairly at all over the past several decades. To the woman in the purple, because I saw you were making a face at my...
There it
is. She nailed it. She nailed it. I saw a chart the other day. You can actually go to a website in Canada. They haven't pulled it. It's the Canadian government website. And it will tell you all the way down to frozen hamburger patties what the tariffs are on the food. And it's astronomical. And it's been that way for a long time. And I know, because I know people that are involved in that kind of crap. Okay? There are astronomical tariffs. And they're whining about a 25% tariff. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
Here's
the suck part already. If you want a quarter pounder at McDonald's, it's $10.
$10.
I'm just telling you, in Toronto, Canada, a quarter pounder is $10. I kid you not. Doug, what are they there?
I don't even know.
They're probably $4.55.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, I love when we go visit Doug. When I got the girls with me, we go down there. We eat at McDonald's because you could go in there and if you spent $30, you'd have a ton of food. $30 in Canada, you won't feed three people.
No, it's crazy.
That's not a joke. That is ridiculous. And they're talking like, we're not going to buy American. Well, you go around, look at all the restaurants that you have here, major chains and all, they're all American companies in Canada. I'm telling you, I go up there. I know.
Okay. Now, I just want to bump this into cut two in the show notes. So that was Carolyn Leavitt. And by the way, what an upgrade from that black lesbian press secretary with a binder. Okay. Binder Barbie, whatever.
The one used to think painted eyeballs on her eyelids.
My goodness, man.
It's like they glowed or something. She used to lie so easily. That should trouble anyone.
I don't think she ever answered a question, but I digress.
Master of deflection.
So here's an AP reporter trying to push Carolyn Leavitt. And this is cut two. And then there's, let's see here, cut two, followed by cut six. Eric, if you can put those kind of back to back. Here's cut two, AP press reporter versus press secretary Carolyn Leavitt. Here it is.
Back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the DRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts. Mm-hmm. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs. I'm curious why he's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have. Don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I now regret giving a question to the Associated Press. Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, that incorporated cut six. So there was a lot of overlap. But at the end, I thought that was great. But boy, don't mess with her.
Oh, 27. And she knows her business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay attention to what she says. She knows her business. Fact checker. If you don't believe it, she knows what she's talking about.
One last thing that you mentioned here. This is kind of breaking news. Ukraine accepts terms for a ceasefire. You're going to be hearing, obviously, a lot about this. Now, this could fall through, mm-hmm. but you know, this video, this cut nine, is a minute 50. Okay, now, folks, I ask you for an honest assessment. Can you imagine Barry Satora, Obama, Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, John Kerry, doing any of this, getting this done?
Nope.
No.
The word ceasefire never came up.
No, they loved the war because war meant profit.
And war is an extension of the Arab Spring, and they want to topple all the leaders across the world that would argue with a one-world government.
There it is.
And Putin didn't become the enemy. Okay. And so after he stepped in Syria, go back and check newspapers from prior to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Check. He wasn't the bad guy. Suddenly he was the boogeyman.
Okay. Well, Reagan come out and say, but again, that was.
Oh, and don't get me wrong, Doug. We trained when I was in the military. Russia was the Cold War. Remember, we were still in the Cold War then.
And they were the USSR, right.
When they pulled the wall down, things changed.
Oh, immensely, you know, when it became this Commonwealth.
We considered them an ally there for a long time.
Hey, World War II, we were allies with them, contrary to a lot of reporters. Yeah.
And this is Washington's doing.
Yeah.
This making them into the bad guy. Washington did this, and it's because Putin is not a globalist. Trump is not a globalist. Why do you think when Trump went into office after that 2016 election, they started making Putin so bad and the fact that he was talking to Trump so bad? Because they don't want those two leaders to get together.
It all connects. It all connects.
It is. It is all connected. And think Ukraine isn't part of that.
100%. Here's cut nine, a minute 50. And again,
we're listening to CNN, people.
Yes, but conceptualize in your mind. Yes. See if you can get this. If it, put anyone else in that position, I don't think you can get this done. Cut 9, a minute 50.
Breaking news. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and National Security Advisor Mike Waltz announcing just a short time ago that Ukraine has accepted terms for a ceasefire to end the three-year-old war. Here they are.
Today we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. I want to personally thank, we both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And hopefully we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
Just think about it. We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end. And this was an important first step. And that was under President Trump's leadership. He has literally moved the entire global conversation to where we had a very senior Ukrainian delegation with us today. We've had engagements with our Russian counterparts. And now it's how the war is going to end. And that's under President Trump's leadership.
There it is.
That's under huge. President Trump's leadership, says Mike Waltz. Mm-hmm. And okay, while Donald will say,
Doug, haven't we been saying that all along?
Yeah.
That as soon as we could get Trump into office, he could put an end to this.
Well, Russia still has to come out. And,
Art of the deal. Trump, listen, if Putin wants, he doesn't want to be our enemy. But no. He's not a globalist. And as long as the globalist and the deep state have control in Europe and all, there's going to be a problem. But at least the United States and Russia can sit down with Ukraine and talk, because it's going to be a three-way conversation.
Why wouldn't it be a four-way conversation?
Who do we want to pull this forth? Europe?
Wait a minute.
Ukraine, Russia, and U.S.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're the ones that Russia would go.
I'm adding people in my mind. Okay, I was trying to think that through. Russia, Ukraine,
Canada with their 80 tanks.
Yay, and blankets, sir. They said years ago they sent blankets. America sends javelins, and Canada sent blankets. There you go.
And Happy Meals, I think, maybe.
Oh, my Lord.
$10 a pop. Yeah.
Man. And it's disparaging to the good Canadians. That's the sad part. There are a lot of good Canadians. There are a lot of good as I met them, but most of them are nowhere near a city. Most of them are out in the country, and they're beautiful people.
I've the United States.
There you go.
You
got good and bad wherever you go. Yep. But
cities are metropolises of trash. And we let them get that way.
I don't want to run out of time. I want to leave people tonight with kind of a laugh. And although this is only 59 seconds, this is so worth it. There was a subcommittee hearing at the House floor, on the House floor today. Okay.
You were going to put the guy on with the stump like mine. Never mind. I said that to you.
Wait a minute.
I laughed so hard when I saw that yesterday. I sent it to Eric, too.
Wait a minute. Would you send
the guy? It's a guy that had an amputation.
And Yeah. I did. Yeah.
Maybe Eric can close us out with that.
Out of respect, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I saw it. I laughed. But anyway.
I laughed pretty hard when I saw it.
But here's something I saw, and I laughed because. You know, where are the statesmen? Where are the people with, as Clinton would say, gravitas? Where are these people at? There was Tim McBride. Now Sarah was elected from New England to be a representative, and to me, this is disgraceful. How this happened, I don't know. But watch this video clip and just soak it in, because it is, to me, hilarious. Now, the left is saying that this McBride, you know, had the upper hand, took the upper hand. Oh, would it come back? What? But really, when you really look at it, what are we doing to our institutions? What have we done? What have we allowed to happen? Here it is, 59 seconds, cut one.
I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, it's a...
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America, please?
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
Now, in case, folks, you didn't catch all of that, obviously, Tim McBride from Delaware. It's a dude, man. It's a dude. The chairman, not a dudette, Mr. McBride. To which Mr. McBride said, called the chairman Madam Chair, right? And the other, the Democratic Representative Keating, lost his mind. To which Mr. McBride said, called the chairman Madam Chair, right? And the other, the Democratic Representative Keating, lost his mind.
They've gotten away with crap for so long. They've dug some of these people that are in Congress and in the Senate. Well, I know it's all Congress, but in the House and in the Senate need to be removed. They're not even from here. They're not even from the United States. We need to go back to where you need to be born in the United States, because I'm tired of them importing their crap. And if you could point one, even from here. They're not even from the United States. We need to go back to where you need to be born in the United States, because I'm tired of them importing their crap. And if you could point one, just like that Omar.
Ilhan Omar.
They need to go. They should not be sitting in a legislative house. That is so wrong. Well, Nothing good can come of that. Nothing good can come of that.
I think Omar might be under. She might. Wait a minute. Omar's the one that married her brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is immigration fraud.
That's right.
Provable.
Yes.
It's provable.
So yes. She gamed the system, and I do believe I heard something, and I don't take this as fact, but I think that there might be an investigation.
That would be great. Anybody that isn't loyal to the United States needs to be knocked out of office. Keith Ellison.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
Yep.
And I mean it.
Yep.
Should not hold office. He is not loyal to the United States of America, nor will he put his hand on a Bible. Get out.
Amen to that.
That guy is a danger to American lives. And don't think I'm kidding. Not 1 minute.
1 minute. And you know, you're 100% accurate. And I think we are righting the ship, correcting its course. And I really want to believe that. Mm-hmm. Even and despite the lack of the release of the files, mm-hmm. And Doug, so far.
Doug, we could, as Americans, we need to charge into the midterms with fierce, be fierce, clean it up, and at your local elections, get these people like Keith Ellison out.
Amen to that. All right, folks. Hey, we got to run.